Good morning. How are y'all? Good to see everybody this morning. If you are visiting with us, we began a series in the book of Ecclesiastes just a couple weeks ago, and we are simply continuing that this morning. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Well, when I was in high school, I was sort of weirdly obsessed with aliens and UFO conspiracies. So when I showed up in my English lit class the first week of my senior year in high school, and the teacher gave us a list of books that we could choose from and read, in order to read and to write papers on, there was one in particular that immediately grabbed my attention, and it was entitled The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like something I might like. And in part of that book, if you've ever read it, the author writes about deep thought, right? One-of-a-kind supercomputer that has been tasked with determining the answer to life and to the universe and to everything that is. And it takes a really, really long time for the computer to do all of its calculations, 7.5 million years to be exact. But finally, after checking and rechecking and checking again all of its calculations and all of the input, deep thought has the answer to life and to the universe, and to everything that is. And so a large crowd has gathered. Everybody's excited that they will finally be able to understand the meaning and purpose of everything. And when everybody's ready, deep thought announces that the meaning of it all is 42. Yes, stunned silence sort of takes the crowd until 42, someone finally yells at the computer. Is that all you've got? Right, after 7.5 million years, 42? I checked it quite thoroughly, deep thought responds, and that is quite definitely the answer. And of course, to everybody's great consternation, it is a most terribly unsatisfying answer. Of course, it doesn't even make any sense. It's like 42, and so everyone goes home disappointed. And as we continue in the book of Ecclesiastes this morning, the preacher is on his own quest, right, to discover the meaning and purpose of life. What is the answer, right, to life and to the universe and to everything that is? Well, this morning we've been invited once again to join the preacher in his quest. So let's read, picking up in chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to read through verse 18 this morning. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Father, we pray now that you would guide us through your word this morning, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that the ears of our hearts would be opened, Lord, to see the things you desire us to see, to hear the things you desire us to hear. And Lord, once again, we ask and pray that you would ultimately lead us to yourself. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, really, two main points to sort of walk through this morning, two main points to organize our sermon this morning, and that is the quest and the discovery. Right, the quest and the discovery. So we begin, number one, with the quest. We read in verse 12 that I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now, it's a statement of reflection, right? The preacher king is looking back over his life. He is reflecting upon years lived, and the things that are written down here serve as a memoir as he is sort of drawing upon a lifetime of experience and lessons learned over the years. As one scholar put it, he is now an old man near the end of his reign, writing from the vantage point of age and experience, and he is telling us the story of what he has learned about life in the hopes of passing on lessons to those who might come after him. And brothers and sisters, you and I are the beneficiaries this morning, because God in his infinite wisdom has seen fit to preserve the writings and the teachings and the lessons of the preacher king for our benefit this morning. In verse 13, the preacher tells us that he was a seeker, a searcher, right, that he was on a personal quest for wisdom because he wanted to know and understand all that is done under heaven. Right, he wanted to comprehend. He wanted to be able to make sense out of life and out of the world. Right, he was looking for meaning behind it all. He was looking for the meaning of it all. Right, and this quest for meaning is actually one of numerous hints throughout the book of Ecclesiastes that the preacher king in question here is in fact Solomon. Because when Solomon became king, God gave him the ultimate opportunity, right, to ask for anything that he wished. And Solomon asked for wisdom. For wisdom. And so God promised to give him, quote, a wise and discerning mind. Right, 1 Kings chapter 3. Right, unlike anyone before him, unlike anyone who would come after him. Now, that did not mean that God was just going to, you know, sprinkle Solomon with some magical pixie dust and Solomon would just then instantly know and understand everything that could be known and everything that could be understood. No, only that he would have a unique capacity for understanding, right? That his mind would have a particular ability for thought and for reason and for reflection, but that he still had to apply himself to the pursuit of knowledge. He still had to exercise his mind. There was the discipline of learning, right? That wisdom was something that would have to be cultivated. And if Ecclesiastes is truly Solomon's memoir, then we are given every indication that that is exactly what he did, right? That he applied his very heart to it, he says in verse 13, right? That from the very depths of his being, he wanted to know and understand, right? And his seeking and his searching indicates that he put some serious effort into it. Right, that his quest for meaning, that his desire to understand life and to understand the world was not just some side hobby. No, it was consuming. He wanted to know and understand all that is done under heaven. Right, in other words, his quest was not only intensive, right, seeking and searching with all of his heart. No, his quest was also extensive, right? He wanted to take it all in, right? Leave nothing out, right? No stone unturned. He wanted to know as much as he could about as many things as he could. All that is done under heaven, so that when he reached his conclusions about the meaning of it all, his conclusions would be as definitive as humanly possible. And all factors considered, all the evidence examined and weighed. And yet, there is something about what the preacher says here that clues us in, that though his quest was intensive and extensive, there was something about it that was still missing. Now, typically in the Bible, right, wisdom has a very positive connotation. But not always. For example, James talks about wisdom that comes from above and that there's also wisdom from below. Right? Wisdom that is actually earthly, wisdom that is unspiritual. And the Hebrew word for wisdom, the one that's actually used here in verse 13, actually has a fairly broad range of meaning. It's a fairly broad term, and often for this word, context determines the precise meaning and actually provides a degree of nuance as well. And in the context of our passage this morning, the preacher's pursuit of wisdom by which he hoped to understand life itself, right, is something, he says, that was done under heaven, verse 13. Right, something done under the sun, verse 14. Now, if you were here last week, then you'll remember that that phrase, under the sun, a phrase that is repeated nearly 30 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, that under the sun is a way of looking at life, or a way of viewing life from a merely human perspective, right? That it was an earthbound, sort of a temporal, sort of a here and now perspective. And thus, it was a perspective that often forgets God, a perspective that often misses God, a perspective that even leaves God out of the equation entirely. And so the wisdom the preacher pursued, right, the wisdom that he valued, the wisdom that he trusted, the wisdom by which he hoped to seek and to search out meaning in life was perhaps more human than divine. Or as another scholar suggests, the wisdom being referred to here is what human beings can know and learn and discover about the world and life and meaning without any special help or revelation from God. Now, if this really is Solomon, then consider the dynamics of that situation for just a moment. To ask God for wisdom, to be given the opportunity to ask God for whatever you want and to ask God for wisdom, but then leave God out of the picture as you pursue it, how far will that take you in life? Right, to be given and to possess a wise and discerning mind like no other, but without the truth of God to guide that mind or to renew that mind, where do you think that will ultimately lead you in life? Right? What do you think you will discover at the end of a quest like that? Well, the answer the preacher discovered is perhaps even less satisfying than 42. Which leads us to point number two, the discovery. Right, this is what the preacher discovered. Three things. The first is unhappiness. Right, verse 13, he says, "It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with." Now, of course, there are a lot of different things in life that can make us unhappy. Right? A bad relationship, bad argument, bad grades, bad news or a bad break that, you know, turns the situation sour, right? There's bad things that people can say or do to us or about us. And I'm using that word bad sort of intentionally here because the Hebrew word that the ESV translates as unhappy or unhappy business has a fairly broad range of meaning as well. And so other English translations say things like a heavy burden or a grievous task. And the point is, right, that there's just a lot of bad things that can happen in life, or a lot of bad things about life that can make life feel like a heavy, grievous, unhappy business. Right? And the preacher is actually going to wrestle with a lot of them in this book. The tedium of work, the injustices of the world, right? The ravages of age, the inevitability of death. Right? All of these different things can make life feel like an unhappy business. But it's also very likely that the unhappiness the preacher is referring to here is actually more deep. It's deeper than just those things themselves. That what is truly an unhappy business is trying to understand why life is like that. Why the world is like that. Why do things happen like this? Why do people act like they do? And why is it that the world can be such a bad, cold, ugly place to live, right? How do I process that? How do I make sense of all of that? And it's almost as if the more the preacher tried to find the meaning of that, the unhappier that business became. Right? As if the more he tried to understand and the harder he looked for answers, just the more burdened he came, the heavier he felt, the more weighed down he felt, the more he tried to understand truly the world in which we live and why life is like it is, the more unhappy it made him. That's not all the preacher discovered, right? In addition to unhappiness, the preacher also discovered emptiness. Emptiness. In verse 14, we read, "I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind." Now, I love this because here the preacher takes some of his favorite phrases, right, that he uses to describe life, phrases that he's going to